Welcome back to Kettlebells and Cocktails. I'm your host, John, back with my bestie, Nikki. Nikki, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to see you. I feel like I haven't had a chance to chat with you in a couple days.
I've been stupid busy.
Yeah, same.
Work and life and workouts and kids and you know what that's like.
Literally my exact roster. Truly.
Not even in that order, probably.
Yeah, I mean, just about, but, you know, I know all the things now.
I was so mad at myself. I haven't even told you this story, so I get to tell you on the air. I was so mad at myself. So I was in Boston last week.
For like 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing. Here's what I didn't know. So we flew in early. They've changed the flights in and out of Cleveland to Boston, and they've changed one of the routes. So it used to be Continental. Now it's Delta. And so there's really kind of only a couple of flights that come in and out. And so I had two choices. I could fly late afternoon or early morning. So I flew early morning, which is a 6 a.m. flight, which sucks, by the way.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah. And the airport was crazy. And so you're rushing through security at, you know, 4:30 in the morning or 5 o'clock to get on a flight to go to Boston. Anyway, so that part sucked. But then I get there and I get the itinerary and nothing starts until 6 p.m.
No.
And so I literally have the entire day free. And then I look at the itinerary and it ends the following day at 1 p.m. with a 8 p.m. flight. So then I have like another 6 hours on the backside of it free. I could have totally hooked up with you and gone and seen the baby and done something.
Oh, come on. That sucks. I know.
And it was such last minute. I couldn't bring myself to text you or call you and say, hey, can you come down here? Because I know what life is like with a baby and a job. And it's like, I'm not going to put that pressure on you because I know you would have done it.
Totally. 100%. Drop everything. Who cares? John's here. Yay.
I wasn't going to add to your stress, but I did get to spend some time in Boston. And I got to tell you, man, I love that city. Like,
best city in the world. I'm telling you.
It's way up there. I'm not going to give you best city in the world status, but it's a great city. We were right downtown and we walked down to the North End, or I guess that's what it's called. And went down to Mike's Pastry. And
Mike's Pastry. Of course, you got a cannoli.
No, I can't eat that food, but I broke my diet and smelled it. That counts as breaking the diet, right? I went in and smelled the calories and they smelled terrific. And and then like, you know, Boston's weird. Like none of the restaurants were really open in the early afternoon. Like none of them opened before. So we were like trying to find a place and it's kind of odd, but you know, it was fun. You like walk around all of a sudden, you're like, oh, there's Paul Revere's house. How weird. You know?
Yeah.
It's just kind of a strange little city that way. I have such, you know, amazing American history and you just like kind of stumble into it.
I know. I'm so jaded because I grew up there. So I'm like, yeah, Freedom Trail, whatever.
Here's my absolute favorite thing about Boston. This is the most American experience you can have in the entire country is when you do that Freedom Trail, you walk by and they take you to, if I'm remembering right, it was a library where Benjamin Franklin and all the founding fathers would do work. It is now a Chipotle. I'm like, that is the most fucking American thing I have ever heard. If they took this historical landmark and they made it a Chipotle, I'm like, God bless America. God bless.
Boston has, I don't know if anywhere else has this, but it definitely started in Boston. It's called Boloco. And it's basically Boston's version of Chipotle before Chipotle was cool. And I think I don't know if this is true. It might just be lore that it stands for Boston Local, Boloco, but it's basically like Boston's version of that kind of like burrito shop, but they have like a couple other, like, it's not just like a Mexican burrito. They also have like a Mediterranean one and like whatever. I ate there so much in college. Now it's actually part of Emerson's dining plan. Cause they like put one basically on the Emerson campus in air quotes. Cause it's just downtown Boston. Right. But I ate there so much in college. Like I probably my entire, like, I don't know, freshman 15, but like all the way through to whatever you gain in your senior year too, was like just burrito weight, 1,000%.
Well, I loved it. It's a beautiful city. It was beautiful weather. Yeah. We walked all over the place. My feet hurt like hell by the time we were done. Yep. But you know, I got to do some sightseeing and that was very cool. I did not have any Mike's Pastries. I was good on my diet. So, you know, my nutrition plan. So that was good stuff. And as a matter of fact, we got to talk about our pre-show sponsor because I have a shout out to them. I was in my basement today doing my new programming, and it's all squats, and we'll talk about it. And I was about to die, and I had a belt on, and it's too loose. I've lost so much weight. The belt doesn't fit anymore. And I can't even, like,
my goodness,
I can't even press out to make it tight. I was like, I'm like kind of proud and depressed at the same time, because I love the belt, you know? So let's talk about Tupud, because they're awesome.
Okay. Okay. So shout out to Tupud. I hope that you're listening, Jeremy, because send John a new belt.
Yes.
He needs one. But Tupud is our sponsor. We are so proud to be working with them, because we honestly have, like, we should have been charging for this for long before they were a partner on the show, because we've been loving their products and talking about them for free for so long. But now we get to tell you, as an official partner, that their belts are totally badass. They reduce stress in your lower back. They prevent hyperextension during your overhead lifts, you know, say goodbye to back pain in that respect, provide you with core support when you're lifting. They say 85% or more of your max, but I don't know. I like be wearing that belt when I'm lifting like 50, 65%. Just makes me feel better, you know?
Whatever it takes. That's me. I wear things through the whole lift. It's great. Except now it's falling off. It's going to be around my ankles, but it's like an ankle bracelet.
Well, this is some big ankles you got.
Yes.
I will say that what's good for you, John, is that they have belts. Tupud carries belts for everyone. So they carry sizes from triple extra small to double extra large. Any size and capacity athlete you are, they have a belt for you. So if you want to get one, if we have convinced you, you can use our code KBandCocktails15 for a little bit of muns off your order.
Perfect. Well, so I'm doing squats today, Nikki, and you know, we just had Matt on last week. And so I'm doing this hard work pays off programming, and you ought to call it like hard squats pay off, because it's all squats. All squats.
Really?
All, it's not, but it felt that way. Like, I like to do, I'm an old dude. I like to do 5x3 increasing weights, 2 minutes between lift. You're not doing it by percentage, whatever feels good, John, just do that. That's what I like to do.
Yeah.
That's not what this program is. Not at all.
Huh.
And today it was like, you know, 1x10 at 70%. And then it goes 1x8. And then it's like 1x6, 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 1x6 for, you know, so it's like six sets. So by the time you're done, you've done like 40 squats, you know, and they're all heavier weights than I want to do. And then you, and back squats. And then you immediately go, if I remember right, it's 1x5, you know, four times front squats at a moderately heavy weight. So I ended up like, it was just like 1,000 squats, easily 1,000.
This is probably 1,000. This is the flagship program?
Yeah. And my belt didn't fit. So I was grumpy about the belt, and grumpy that I'm not as strong as I thought I was. And, but you know, based on the way my legs feel, I'm going to be games ready in a couple of weeks. So.
Oh, good. Perfect.
Good news.
Are you doing quarterfinals?
No. I missed by, I don't know the exact number, but I think it was 173 spots. No, okay. That's about right. That actually is about right.
Somewhere
It was
under
somewhere
200.
It was somewhere between 150 and 175, somewhere. It was close.
Cool. That's great. Good for you.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, you know, considering I did them one and done, I can live with that. You know, seeing the layouts, I'm not sad that I'm not doing these extra workouts even a little.
No, I think Matt missed it by like one percentage point because he couldn't redo the deadlift burpee workout because he's like, you know, he threw his back out last year while we were on our baby moon after quarterfinals, and I had to carry him around to the pool.
Oh, I forgot like about that.
Pregnant. Remember
Everybody
that?
Should go back and listen to that episode. That was a good one. I may go listen to it. That was a funny one. I forgot about that.
Do you remember that shit? So he didn't redo that because he wanted to, you know, save his back, which is much smarter than him last year, and missed it by like one percentage point. And he was a little bit bummed, but now looking at the equipment list, I'm like, look, GHDs are back. Like, you would absolutely wreck yourself again if you qualified. So I'm not super mad that he doesn't have to put himself through that.
Yeah, it's got a flat bench in it. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, I am out. I do not bench well at all.
I think it's going to be fun. I'm excited to see what the programming is because I feel like that's going to shake some shit up this year, you know?
You know what's funny for me, not to get on a rant here, but people love to send me their complaints. They love it. So many professional complainers out there. And I don't mind it. Like, you know, I'm always interested to see what people's viewpoints are. And the one that I hear on this one is people are complaining it's $50 to do quarterfinals. And what I keep hearing is people like, it's a cash grab by CrossFit. And I keep reminding people, you know, at least this is my viewpoint, you know, whether I'm right or not, I guess people can debate it. But I'm like, you guys got to remember, like, we didn't have quarterfinals just like 2 years ago. It was the Open or nothing. Like, you did the Open.
Right.
And then you went from Open to, you know, it, we'll call it regionals or semis. Right. Right. Like, that's how you got in. That was it. And yep. Then those semis, you know, if we're doing recent memory, might have some sort of online qualifier that you could try to get in, maybe. Right. And all of that, by the way, costs money. It wasn't like it was free to do that. But anyway, the point is, you know, everybody's like, well, it's a cash grab. I'm like, well, what you guys are forgetting is what they used to do is go Open to regionals and they would spend $1 million per event. So instead, so their give back to the community was basically trying to put themselves out of business. Like, that was it. Okay. They're like, we're going to do the Open and we'll take everybody's $20. And then we're going to do regionals and spend all the Open money. And then we got to figure out how we're going to fund the games because we don't have any money left, you know? And so I'm like, it's not really a cash grab. Like, it's an investment in the games. It's an investment in creating the spectacle that everyone's bitching about isn't good enough, you know? It's
Yeah. I agree. And I have a little bit of a different perspective too, right? Because like, for me, it's like, well, don't you guys want to see quarterfinals? Don't you want to see coverage? Don't you want to see Sean at the desk? Don't you want to see me live from location somewhere? Like, broadcasts are incredibly expensive to put on. And just even from a technical standpoint, like, your girl is not very expensive. I'll tell you that right now. But like, to do everything, to get the whole thing. So, you know, there's costs associated with it. I don't mind. And I know that it's difficult because it's like, you know, the registration fee for the athlete that's going and they don't have a lot of money or support. And that is a difficult conversation. I think that we should have a larger conversation about how to make it affordable for everyone and how people can make more of a career out of doing this and all that stuff that we always talk about. But at the same time, those people don't want a paywall when it comes to viewing the content, right. And they still want like update shows and they still want to like listen to Sean talk about Sean things. And I don't know. I just, it's not like the whole thing goes to fund the broadcast. I'm just saying that that's one aspect of running the business that we've now come to expect in terms of content. And the more stages of competition and the more coverage we have and the more people want to see Instagram posts and TikToks about everything that's going on, like, you know, the more the company needs to charge to do things. So I'm probably, you know, I do see both sides of it, and I'm not an athlete who has to pay the money. So I don't bear that burden, but I'm just throwing another perspective out there.
Here's the other thing. They don't realize that $25 of that $50 is Kahoot's money. That's how they pay me.
Right. That's right.
You know,
who knew?
That's where all the Kahooting comes from. So pay your $50, people. It's the only way I can get paid. So
it's the only way to make the me millions.
Dude, somebody, I've been really active on Twitter lately. And for some reason, like I'm starting to build kind of a little following over there. And somebody came in and commented, this page is totally run by CrossFit corporate. That's what it said. CrossFit corporate. They didn't call it HQ anymore. They call it corporate. And I'm like, well, you know, Eric and I do look alike. I don't know what to tell you. You know, like, do a little research, buddy. Take a simple LinkedIn or Google search to figure out it's not run by CrossFit. But where's my fucking check? Like, somebody pay
Seriously.
Me.
Seriously. I do get paid by them. Just add to my check. Sometimes.
I don't get it, man. I just don't understand.
So people are so out of touch.
This whole conspiracy theory, like it feels like these days people just make up their own conspiracy theory. If they don't agree with something, they just create a theory and make it fact.
Okay. Here's how I think the internet is a hot garbage fire is because the people who make shit up like that, they speak about it the loudest and the most confidently so that other people see them talking out of their buttholes and they're like, oh, that person must be speaking the truth because like, they're just like out here saying it. And so it's like, gotta be real. And then it spreads like wildfire. Thank you for coming to my TED talk.
The other thing I saw this week, and it's all on Twitter. You know what I want to do, Nikki? I want to get all the people on Reddit and all the people on Twitter and let them fist fight it out, just see who would win. Like, they're all kind of insufferable to some degree. And I'm part of both of those groups. So I'm insufferable too. So I'm throwing myself into those groups.
But, whose mom's basement are we going to host this in?
Just wondering. My God. The big thing on Twitter that's so funny is that when people get mad at, they were bitching about the Open and people having to pay $20 for the Open. And they kept saying, calling CrossFit elitist for, or no, they'd say so inclusive, saying that CrossFit isn't inclusive because they're making everyone pay $20 and some people can't afford $20. And I'm sitting there going, and so I know the motivation behind that. They're blaming Eric and kind of the new regime and they want to call them woke and, you know, whatever the little buzzwords are. And I'm sitting there going, Greg started the Open. Like Greg and Dave started the
Open. It's always been $20.
It's always been 20 bucks. Like, so are we all on board now that Greg and Dave weren't inclusive? Is that what we're saying? Like, that's the argument I want to make. Like, where's your argument? It's just like, it's so frustrating. People just love to complain.
I have to log out. I have to check out of that shit. I am not logging in for that. I can't do it.
It's like frustrating and hysterical all at the same time. So I'm low key kind of loving Twitter lately. I don't know why.
Can I change the subject and make you smile? This is really fun. This is really funny.
Give it your best shot.
Okay. I, as of today, am a, I can't even believe I'm saying this out loud. I am a now certified official, ready to go on UVC talent.
Wait, ready to go on what? QVC? QVC. Yeah. Uh-huh. I wasn't sure what was coming out. Well, are you going to do QVC?
Yeah, I'm going to do QVC.
Oh my God, that's awesome. That does make me smile. Can I call in and buy shit?
Absolutely. 100% you can. I don't know what my air date will be yet, but yeah. What the hell do they sell on TVC? They sell everything. And what I didn't realize was, because when we were on, I had a 3-hour training session today. I could not make this shit up. And when we were on, they were like, can you guys guess like who our buyers are? And everyone was like, grandmas and whatever, whatever. Apparently their buyers are skewing way younger. Grandmas like got it to be popular and whatever, but apparently their buyers are skewing way younger these days because they have like an app and like all their clips live online too, so they don't have to call in.
Do they sell guitars? Because I'll totally call in and buy a guitar from you. Totally.
Maybe, I don't know. It's usually like innovation and invention and that kind of stuff. But yeah, that happened today.
Oh my God!
I'll let you know when my air date is.
I got so many just like weird thoughts running through my head of what QVC is like. I mean, back in the day, QVC would be like, hey, we have this potato peeler and it's going for $19.95, but you know, and like, that's the kind of shit they sold. But now with Amazon, like you can just go get your potato peeler. You don't need any, you don't need to go to QVC. So like, I'm trying to figure out like, what are you guys going to be selling? Yeah.
Oh, I can tell you. So, you know, it's interesting. One of my, cause you know, I run an ad agency. So one of my clients, they sell these, there's like neoprene sleeves that you put around your iced coffee when you go through the drive-thru. I feel like have I never sent you one of them?
You didn't send them, I've seen you post on them several times. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'll send you a couple. They're called the Java Sock. Look, I have one right here.
Java Sock.
This is not a paid ad. We should do paid ads.
For Java Condom.
But anyway, Java Condom, coffee condom.
Coffee rubber.
But
Coffee Jimmy.
Coffee Jimmy neoprene sleeve.
Okay. Thanks. Coffee Jimmy hat.
Anyway. When we started the ad agency, they were our first client because they came with one of my partners and they were just like really, really small and we helped grow the business. So they feel like family, like we're very close to them in general. And there is no one better to rep the brand, even though they're like technically a client of mine. We've been working with them for ages and like my face is in a lot of like the ads that pop up on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok now, just because we've been working with them for so long and because I'm semi-decent on camera. So there truly is no one better to go on QVC and represent this brand. It's just hilarious that they like worked out this deal because, you know, they're trying to sell their product and they were like, hey, so we got a spot on QVC. Would you? And I was like, Oh, hell yeah, I will. Are you kidding me?
I don't
me?
Know how I could watch it. I don't have cable. Are they on cable? What are they on?
Me either. Yes, they're on cable. My friends ask the same shit. I'm like, I don't know. We have to find someone who has cable still. We've been cord cutters for like 12 years. Yeah.
Like, where do I find? Do I like go to an Arby's? Like, is there like a bingo parlor I can go check this out in?
Probably. You'll be able to watch the clip online after it airs too.
I'm gonna go to like.
I don't think you have to call in. I think you can like web purchase.
I'm just gonna go to some neighborhood nursing home and tell them I'm there to see my grandma, and just find some person that looks like they could be related to me, and just go sit and watch QVC. Oh, look, grandma, there's my friend Nikki. Oh, John, she's so cute. Great.
Oh my God, I'm just dead that this is even happening in my life. And when I like registered and I like did the training or whatever, they asked me, they were like, can we list you as like a generalist? So like, if you do well, maybe QVC could call you again. I was like, this is it. This is the start of my new career, guys. Sorry, I can't do the podcast anymore. I'm going to be a QVC full-time special guest. Watch it's going to happen.
That's awesome. Hey, I have a fun story that happened today. Here's a fun story that happened to me. We're not talking about CrossFit at all. Screw CrossFit.
No, not at all.
I went down to Guitar Center because, of course, I'm buying more guitars. And
of course you are.
And yeah, I want you to keep in mind, here's the relevance of the story. Like, I'm the most basic of all basic white dudes, right? I've got I'm wearing Lululemon and Innovate the whole way, right? I look as basic as they can be, middle-aged white dude. And I'm sitting in there playing, and I get this really awesome Gibson Les Paul Gold Top with P90s, and it sounds amazing through a Vox amp, and it's like classic sound. And this this older African-American gentleman comes in, and it occurred to me after I looked at him and thought, oh, he's older, that he's probably my age. Right. Like, so that's bad. Yeah. Aww. That was the first thing. I'm like, oh, he's this older guy. And then I'm like, no, we're the same age. That sucks for me. But he grabs a Fender Stratocaster and sits down, and we haven't talked. Right. I just see him. He sees me, and he grabs it, and he says to me, hey, where do I find a cord? And I'm like, well, the associate's over there. He's the one that got me one. And so he goes and gets one and sits down, and he starts playing, and I start playing chords, and I start playing a blues progression on this Gibson, and he immediately starts soloing over it. And next thing I know, me and this dude who I've never met before just start jamming for about 20 minutes, just playing the blues. No. We're just going back and forth playing. And when he's done, he's got to leave. He just walks over, doesn't say anything, walks over and gives me a fist bump. He's like, nice job, brother. And walks out. I'm like, it's like a rock star moment. I'm like, I love the blues, and to have someone validate that I could sit there and play blues with them just made me so happy. I'm like, this is the greatest moment of my life. I'm going to retire, sell all my guitars. I'm done. That's it. Finished.
How fun.
It was so much
that
fun.
That is fun.
It was so cool. And he was a good player. He was good. You know, it was kind of a weird moment because I've never had that happen where you just start playing with someone you don't know. You're not even talking about playing. You're just like both playing the same thing. It was very cool. Very cool moment.
Amazing. Wow. Definitely a rock star moment. That's like, that's like some shit out of a movie.
I was playing.
You need to like go find this man. You're now in a rom-com.
I know. I should have shouted to him. Hey, we're playing the Lululemon Blues. It's going to be great.
Are misconnections on Craigslist still a thing? You should go on there and be like, you are the man on the Fender Strat.
Write the lyrics. I don't get 40% off no more. Ba-ba-na-na-na. It'd be great. The shit is expensive, but
I can chime in on that one. Believe me,
it is expensive. It's super expensive, but yeah, it was fun. So,
are you happy with your newest addition to your collection?
Oh, I got so many guitars right now. It's so I can't stop. I literally. So here's another funny story. Megan, my youngest, messages me, and she's graduating from high school in just a couple of months. Very bittersweet about this. My baby is graduating high school, Nikki. My baby, right?
I don't understand.
I'm telling you, it was like yesterday she was Hunter's size. Like, that's what it feels like to me. Just anyway, she's graduating high school, and she messages me now. In the state of Ohio, when you're divorced and you pay child support, the cutoff date is either 18 years old or when they graduate high school, whichever is later. Well, Megan's already 18, so I'm still paying. And so she just randomly sends me a text and goes, hey, daddy, your child support's done in 2 months. That's all it said. Yeah. You know, and I messaged her back and I said, well, I guess I have to get a child support guitar then. That's what I'm doing.
Hey,
that's where that money's going. And I bought a guitar today. So there's my child support guitar.
Wow. Great. Well, congratulations. I love that she just like openly, I love that like your family is like open and chill enough to just be like, that's funny. Here's a check. You know what I mean? Like
it's hilarious. I don't even think about the money. Like it's, you know, these are your kids. Like you know, you want them to have every penny you can give them. So like, it didn't even occur to me that it was ending. I honestly had not thought about it in any capacity. Cause I don't miss the money. Like you just pay it and you're done. You know, it's like,
right.
You want your kids to get the money and you want them to, you know, enjoy life and that sort of thing. And then all of a sudden I'm like, shit, I'm about to get a raise. This is awesome.
Oh shit.
I know.
Oh, man, if I were her, I'd have been like, if you don't miss that money, you just transfer that right into my bank account every month.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not like it's not going to get spent. She's going to college. I'm going to spend every penny of that money.
I know.
Like quick, you know? So it was just funny. Yeah. So I got a child support guitar today and got to play the blues with someone. And
wow.
Yeah. It's been a busy day around here, Nick.
I believe it. And I'm exhausted for you, but I'm also exhausted for me because I haven't slept in like 3 weeks.
Oh, tell me about, you mentioned that earlier. What's going on? Shit. Why is this baby not sleeping? Do I need to come shake him? What's going on?
Yes, please do. Oh my God. Remind me to circle back to shaking the baby because I learned something wild the other day, but
what's more important than shaking your baby? Okay, let's go. What is it?
Did you know, this is random, but this is, so Matt was like making a joke about shaking a baby. And then he goes, did you ever play with that toy from the 80s that you were supposed to shake instead of your baby? And I was like, I'm sorry. The fuck did you just say? He was like, yeah, I distinctly remember because he's a little older than me. He's a lot older than he's going to be. Yeah, 40
I think there
year.
Was a toy in the 80s. What was it?
There totally was. I have to Google it again because I looked it up and he was like, oh my God, that was it.
Wasn't but apparently there a toy there was that you a toy. Shake it and the baby would say, don't shake the baby or something like
no,
that.
No. It was like a toy with like a long neck or whatever. And when you shook it, it went like, straight up. Someone's going to totally cut that and use it to make money.
Please do not ever make that sound on this podcast.
I know. But I will have to Google it. I'll do it right now while we're talking. But I swear to God, it was discontinued because it was like awful, but it was supposed to like make it so that you didn't shake your baby. What do I even Google? Toy so you don't shake baby?
I don't know. If you Google shake the baby and your computer gets subpoenaed, you're going to jail. So
I know, right? I'll ask Matt and I'll send you the link.
Oh my God. That is so bizarre. I distinctly remember something like, but you know, the 80s is a very hazy time for me.
I believe it.
I had a real scary moment today.
What?
So, what's it? Craig Diablo, guy, the owner of Diablo CrossFit. Really great dude. And, you know, it's one of the oldest CrossFits in the network. You know, I want to say it's 14 to 17 years or something like that. And I was on Morning Chalk Up with him a few weeks back, which is how I connected with him. And he's a great dude. And anyway, he did a post today that was a screenshot of CrossFit Journal. And it had all the conversations in it, you know, people posting their times and questions and he was just making a point of how pure it was and nobody was arguing. It was just like a real special time in CrossFit. But the very first comment said, are the squats from the floor of the rack or something like that. And so I commented and I'm like, well, it's nice to see that 9 years later, people are still making the same, you know, is it from the rack or the floor comment. And then someone came in the comments and like, John, 03 was 19 years ago. And I'm like, I'm like, oh shit, it was. Like in my mind, 03 was 9 years ago. But in reality, it was 19 years ago. And I'm like, oh my God, when did that happen?
Uh-huh.
I'm crazy old now. And it made me sad momentarily.
Oh, I feel that. I do that all the time. Okay, wait, I found it. I found this toy. It's called the Jibba Jabber doll.
The doll
came in different hair colors. Listen, it had a long neck, but its defining feature was the strangled choking sound it made when shaking. Okay, let me, sorry, I digress. So
we're putting in the show notes. So send it to me and we're going to put it in the show notes so everybody can look up.
I'm going to send you this link.
Yeah, send it to me.
I'd never seen it, but Matt apparently was like told to play with it when he was a child. So excellent. Great A parenting, you guys. So anyway, a few weeks ago, so remember when I was complaining, I was like bitching that Matt was going to Chicago to get drunk with his cousin all weekend and I was home with a baby alone. Well, I was home with the baby alone and I was crushing mom life. I was doing great. Naps were on point. He was happy. We went to Trader Joe's. I like reached peak momming. It was awesome.
Right. Peak momming.
And I put him down for a nap. Yeah, totally. Put him down for a nap. And when he woke up, I was going to go meet my friends at the, at a brewery. And he woke up with another fever and he had like just gotten over one. So I was like, it's weird. And he was coughing. So I called the pediatrician. I know it was a Saturday, but I was like, I've never had a sick baby. And I wasn't freaking out. I was just like, you guys tell me if there's something I'm supposed to do. Like, should I like, is there baby cough medicine? Right. I don't know. You tell me. And the pediatrician on call was like, I think you should take him to the ER. I was like, come again, say what? So I did that, which was shitty. And it was like basically just 4 hours of hell waiting around for a doctor to listen to him for 5 minutes and be like, yeah, it's not pneumonia. So you're fine. Go home.
Right.
And basically since then, that was like, I think it's been like 3 weeks total. That was 2 weeks and he was sick the week before. So it's been 3 weeks total of him getting sick every 2 days.
Right.
And that turned in like, wasn't pneumonia, but it turned into an ear infection. And then now he has the ear infection and another cold. And it's just like, everyone said when he started daycare, just buckle up because he's going to be sick all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, won't be that bad. Like we've had, Matt was sick. I had a norovirus. Like it's in my house. It's here. It's here and it's staying.
Like it's in my nose and I can't get it out. Like,
please. Terrible. So since honestly, it's just, he was a great sleeper and we did some sleep training and it worked out well. And since he started getting sick like 2-3 weeks ago, he just is really uncomfortable at night. The ear infection is keeping him up and I just feel bad. So for the last few nights, he's been up like every like 90 minutes. It's like having a newborn again. I'm sure when this ear infection passes, then it'll get better. But like last night I blew up an air mattress and slept in the nursery because it was just easier. If I'm getting up with him and he wants to nurse all the time just for comfort, then it's easier for me to just be in that room.
Do you want me to tell you the truth or do you want to know what you want to hear? Which do you want?
Just tell me the truth. I'm listening.
Well, like, you know, reoccurring ear infections, like Mira had that. And she ended up having to get tubes in her ears. And so we had the ear infections, like I swear to God, 4 years, man. It just goes on forever until you finally have to have surgery. You know, you take them in and like, there's the scary moment where your kid's got the little cap, you know, and the mask and the whole deal, you know? You know, so hopefully you don't end up down that road, but ear infections are such a pain in the butt because there's nothing you can do to make them feel better. But you know, give them what the doctor tells you to give them. They're sitting there tugging on their little ears, you know.
They're tugging, yeah. And we gave him antibiotics. Like, he had an ear infection. And I knew it right away. I went in because I was like, he's tugging. Like, he's not sleeping well. What's up? And they were like, yeah, he's got fluid back there, but maybe it'll clear on its own. So let's wait. So I waited a week, you know, because they don't want to give antibiotics to kids right away if they don't have to. Waited a week and it still wasn't getting better. I'm like, I know this shit is not working. And so now he's on amoxicillin. And poor thing, I feel bad. But I also feel bad for me because it's like having a brand new spanking baby again, where like he's up every 90 minutes, 2 hours. And I'm like, mom's got to sleep too.
Right. I'd forgotten. I, you know, like all this goes away. Like I think humans are designed to forget these things. So they'll continue to procreate. Like I forget all this stuff, you know, like not that I want to procreate anymore. But I just like to say procreate at this point, but,
it's fine.
That's fine. But I think you forget like how hard it is early, and like how sick babies get all the freaking time when they're little. And, you know, cause as adults, you don't get sick that often, you know, it's like, we all look back on this pandemic and we're like, oh, I got COVID once. It was terrible. I was sick for 2 weeks. I'm like, bitch, my baby's been sick for 6 months now. Like that's what babies are. You've sent them daycare and they're always sick.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. So I'm not jealous of what you're going through, but you'll look back on it and you know, you'll learn all the mom lessons.
Yeah. I feel like I have a good baseline now. Cause it was just his first time being sick. Like I wouldn't call the peds again. And now I know too, like that he's just, the kind of baby that like doesn't spike a fever when he has an ear infection. It's just like the stuff I didn't know at first. So I like needed a little bit of professional help. Oh, also speaking of professional help, huge shout out to, if you follow me on Instagram, you probably have seen me share stories from, his name is Mark. I think his Instagram handle is like DA Runner. Hold on. Wait, I'm going to mess it up.
I saw that today.
DA Runner.
He like tagged me like I was supposed to know him. Who is he?
Well, he's a big, he listens to the podcast. So his name is Mark and he's a podcast listener. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
And he's also a pediatrician. And he, this poor man has been my sounding board. The worst thing he could have done is DM me like early on being like, oh, I'm a huge fan of the podcast and I'm a pediatrician. If you ever have any questions, I was like, buckle up. I have questions.
Yeah, are you sure, buddy? You sure you want to go down that road? Okay.
I know, but he's been just like so amazing and so helpful and so very much like on nights where I've been freaking out as a new mom, was just like able to answer a question and it was just someone I could really trust. So he's, because he's been such a great sounding board for me, he's putting out a little bit more like informational content, because he was like, oh, I bet there's other new moms that would also want just like to be able to read a post about how do I know if it's an ear infection versus teething, or like what is like a normal amount of spitting up, or like how much should my baby be eating, whatever. So I've been sharing his stuff in my stories because it's been so helpful to me. And if you are a parent of any sort that is also interested in that type of info, just to like, you know, peace of mind, I recommend giving him a follow. It's been so helpful.
Hey, I have a couple of doctors we need to get on the show that we're going to get on the show, by the way. We haven't talked about it, but I want to get Dr. Nathan Jenkins, who's been on before, but he's my RP coach. And now that I've hit my goal weight, I want him to come on so I can bitch about this prison diet he had me on. And he can give everybody
Did I tell you that you've hit your goal? Matt's going to be so mad. When he came back from that binge weekend in Chicago, he weighed in and RP was like, ooh, yeah, about food.
Yeah.
You're actually not allowed to have any more.
Yeah, you're done. You're cut off for another 60 days.
So he's so mad.
Dude, it's hard. This shit is hard. It is tough. It's so hard.
Being adherent.
I've gotten really good though at like figuring out the swings that, you know, like your weight's not a, you know, people think weight loss is like a linear path. It's like one direction. It's either up or down, and it isn't. It's total waves based on everything from salt and water to food to sleep.
Your time of the month.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I'm having that all the time. Oh my God. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten really good at like, I weigh myself a lot. Not because I want to be neurotic about the weight, but because I'm trying to get enough data to understand, you know, what I'm eating and what's working and what isn't and that sort of thing. And so it's worked really well for me, you know. Damn, I've been hungry a lot. Like for a lot. Bet. And so I'm finally done. So we'll get Nathan on to talk about that. And then I want to get Tom McCoy on, who is my doctor through Wild Health or Thorn, which is CrossFit Precision Care.
And
it's very cool. I took a DNA test and a blood test and I got my results back a week ago and they walked me through them and I didn't understand any of it because it's way over my head, but it's really cool results. And, you know, the bottom line is I'm super healthy, which is good. Which, you know, I wasn't surprised, but I was happy to hear that. And yeah, I thought it'd be cool to have them on to, you know, talk about, you know, kind of the science behind what they're doing. And this CrossFit Health Initiative, I think it'd be really important for people to hear because it's, I'm immediately finding it beneficial, you know, and it's covering everything from diet and exercise to supplements I should be taking. It tells you what your predispositioned foods are good for you, the foods that are predispositioned bad for you that you, you know, should stay away from. You know, they give you, you know, kind of a macro count you should be shooting for, you know, and it's really, really detailed, but tailored to you. It's very specific to you as an individual. It's not just like, hey, here's our template, go do it. You know, it's,
Is it still kind of like a pilot E type program? Mm-hmm. Like it's still new, right? Yeah. I am dying to learn more about what's going on with that. Cause I really want to get into it and I really want, because I would love, like, it's so hard. I just got a new PCP, and it's so, we should probably save more of this for that episode, but it's so hard to find someone that I can trust, who I know is going to be like-minded. If I had some sort of network of those people, and I truly, truly think that they should bring someone like that in, like a pharmacist, or have that as part of the program, because I hear him all day on the phone trying to counsel people off their meds by like diet and exercise and lifestyle. He knows how meds work, and like people don't want to hear it, but like people in our world would want to hear it, you know? So I want to get in on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I train with my doctor. So like, he's a friend on top of being a doctor.
Right.
But to that point, like he understands what I'm doing. So like, as we were talking through, like, you know, they have that kind of a diet plan set aside that they want me to do. And I'm like, well, I've been doing RP. Here's what that looks like. And so we're, you know, debating back and forth and talking about what's going to be best for me and tailoring it to my lifestyle and the way I want to live and what's going to be healthiest for me long term, and, you know, things that I'm predispositioned for and that sort of thing. And he understands the stupid shit I do in the gym, you know?
Right. Exactly.
And how I need to fuel for that. So I think it's really cool. I think it's a much different vision than Greg envisioned for CrossFit Health. And people can debate whether that's good or bad, but I do think it's, for me as a consumer who's, and by the way, I'm paying for this. I mean, like, there's no cahoots money when it comes to healthcare. They make me pay for this
shit.
They give me a discount, but I am paying for it. And you know, it's not expensive, but it's not inexpensive. So it's a decision like you have to make, hey, I want to invest in my health, which is what I did. And I think for the people that want to do it, that view like this kind of precision care, as important to them, it should be no different for you than choosing a CrossFit gym over Planet Fitness. You know what I mean? Like, you can get the $7 a month Planet Fitness or 12 bucks or whatever it is and go work out on your own, or you can pay 150 bucks and go to a CrossFit gym, you know? So yeah, it's really interesting. So we'll get Tom on, we'll get Nathan on, we'll battle it out with them. And, I think it'd be interesting, but
yeah, be awesome.
I'm doing all the healthy stuff, Nikki, as I sit here and drink tequila on the show. It's great.
I'm proud of you. I'm doing none of the healthy stuff, though. I will say that now that the baby will be 8 months. Oh my God. Wow. I don't understand time anymore. But now that I'm approaching, like over 7 months, they say that your like milk supply stabilizes kind of, and like you're pretty much like where you're at, and I'm in a good spot. So originally I had started on the breastfeeding templates, and I was kind of like, it was just too much for me. And I was like worried about my supply, and it was like not good for my brain to like have another thing to track. But now that I'm in a spot where like he's in daycare and my supply's still good and whatever, I think I'm going to get back on it. And Matt's going to stay on it, like as a lifestyle, at least like Monday through Friday when his 12-week challenge is over. So we'll probably, you know, be an RP family, and I'll get on the healthy train with you. I'm not there right now though. Right now I'm still indulging and I'm happy with that.
The macro thing is interesting to me. I was talking to my oldest about this yesterday. We went shopping and we were at Target. And we walked in the door and she saw a box of oatmeal cream pies. And she's like, oh my God, can I get them? I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Grab them. You know, she loves these things. And she's like, I'm going to eat them all before Megan comes over. She's like convinced she's going to eat this entire box before her sister shows up. And she's like, do you want one? And I'm like, no, I can't eat an oatmeal cream pie. But then I said to her, well, actually I could. Like, you can fit it into your macros.
Yeah, totally.
And that's the scary part of macros to some degree. Is like, you can take shit food, which is what an oatmeal cream pie is. Delicious, by the way. Totally delicious. The little ones, not the big ones. The little ones are the best ones. And you can fit them in if you want to. And that's okay to do that occasionally. But you could also fit the whole damn box in if you really wanted to do the math and figure it out. Yeah. You know. And so that, for me, as someone who's good at math, like, that's the scary part of macros. Is like, maybe I'll just fit in an entire box of oatmeal cream pies into this week somehow, you know, but it's just not satisfying. That's the hard part, you know?
Right. And you're kind of hungry. Like, the whole point is, if you fuel with foods that you know, that are good for you, the whole foods, that you're never going to be hungry. That's the things people think dieting is like, limiting the amount of food. And it's not.
Yes.
Like, the amount of food that sometimes Matt has in front of him, I'm like, you are not going to be able to eat all of this. Like, it is, if you got roughage and veggies and cauliflower rice and whatever, like the volume of food, like your poor stomach. But yeah, you can sure shit fit some cream pies in there if you want to.
Well,
just gonna be hungry later.
Yeah, I will be. I've been hungry a lot lately, but I lost like 2 pounds a week for 10 weeks. Wow. Man,
guys suck. not, that's bullshit. Every female listener is like, hey, horseshit.
First of all, it was hard as hell, Nikki. So I get it. I know it's easier for men than women, but don't discount how hard it was. Like, you know, you're talking about going to bed hungry at nights and, you know, some stuff I didn't enjoy.
Need some more cauliflower.
Yeah, right.
Fill you right up.
I have abs now, though, so that's exciting. That's good stuff.
That's cool. Yeah. I think that's rad.
I don't know if it is or isn't, but I feel better. My clothes fit better, except for that belt down in my basement. But otherwise, everything's good.
So. Oh, speaking of your belt again. Oh,
yes.
Oh, should we talk about Tupud one more time?
One more time. When are we getting our belt from them? It's got to be soon.
Yeah. So we're working on, it's going to be soon. Yeah. Obviously, like, the world is crazy and shipping delays are a thing again, but we are working on a secret potential collab with them on belts. So that will be cool. But in the meantime, they do have over 45 different other belt designs to choose from, including the glittery ones, the sparkly ones that everyone always asks me about. And you can make a custom belt with them too. That's totally an option. So if you want to like get a belt with my face all over it, they do that for you. And I think it's what's cool to me is like how many of our favorite people are Tupud athletes, like people we've had on the show, like Haley Adams and Jacob Heppner and your girl, Amanda Barnhart and Tasia, Sam Briggs. If you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to it. And just like a ton of other people who endorse them and love them. And
how did Amanda become my girl? How did that happen?
Oh, I don't know. I just feel like you always are like, I love Amanda and her husband.
I know. Actually, I know her husband real well. I would never call her my girl, but I know her husband real well. But yeah, I just thought it was funny. Your girl, Amanda. I'm like me and Amanda.
Yeah, girl, Amanda.
We were texting earlier today. We're besties, you know.
Besties. But if you and your belt want to be besties, again, one more time, you can use our code. It's KB and Cocktails 15.
Super fun. Well, we actually have a second half of this episode with us again, but with our buddy Dale King.
Us again, we're back.
Us again. But it's an older episode. We just want to be shocked when we come on. So we recorded it before the Arnold, during the Open, or maybe even slightly before the Open. Dale is the head of the affiliates in this region, kind of Midwest area. And he's here in Ohio, and he's got the inside track on what's going on with affiliates, which is really cool. He's an OG CrossFitter. He also does amazing work addiction community. There's a huge drug problem in the area in which he lives, and he's helping a ton of people. Like, he's just the greatest dude. And I spent a ton of time with him at the Arnold, by the way. Hung out with him, had drinks, and just chilled and joked around. Just the greatest guy, but so much fun talking to him. And he gives such keen insight as to what CrossFit's working on, and in my opinion, you know, the work his team is doing and what he's doing is what CrossFit really is. Like, we're always talking about the games and like all these little bitter gripes. Everybody's got about $20 and $50 and whatever. Dale's out there like blood, sweat, and tears changing lives, you know?
Yeah.
And just a really, really great dude. So I'm excited for people to hear that episode.
Yeah. So we recorded this a couple of weeks ago, like John said, but definitely worthy data. But if I don't even remember what we talked about a whole bunch of stuff. I feel like at one point I was like, my baby's sleeping great. So, you know, it's a little bit dated, but really, really great info. And we'll have Dale back on again too, like periodically, to just give us updates about what's going on in the affiliate world.
I think on that episode, you're like, hey Dale, I've got the mom life all figured out. It's perfect now.
Let's not air that.
All right. Before we go to that episode, I need two things. First one is, when are you going to be on QVC? What are the dates? Do we know?
I don't know yet. No, I'll let you know as soon as I know.
Okay. And can you make the sound of that doll again when it gets choked?
No, never again. No? Someone's going to have to go back and cut it and then probably make money off of it.
If I only knew someone that's going to edit this episode, if I only knew that person.
Oh my God. I'm like the latest trending sound on some like really X-rated version of TikTok. Probably
it's going to be on this podcast weekly. I'm just going to, anytime I got to bleep something, it's just going to be you going every time
You have like a soundboard all of a sudden.
Yep. It's going to be perfect.
Please don't ever. Oh my God.
All right. Well, super fun as always. I hope Hunter gets some better sleep. Urban helps. Rub it on his gums. Be fine.
I might put it right on the bedside table next to the air mattress in his room that I'm probably going to sleep there on again tonight.
Yeah. What's the drink when you mix, what's vodka and milk or one of those? What's it called? The white Russian. You can make it
like white Russian.
Yeah. Make him white Russian with breast milk. It's going to be great. He's part Russian. It makes sense, right?
Yeah. We are all technically Ukrainian if you want to. So I'll make him a white Ukrainian out of mom's milk. How's that?
Perfect.
Make one for him and one for me.
Wow. We just created a drink. Created a drink. That's a good thing to know.
It's only slightly gross.
Yes. What a weird show this has been. Okay. Well, this has been fun.
Truly.
Yeah. Super, super fun. And for everyone listening, appreciate you guys joining. We are going to kick it over to Dale. Welcome back to Kettlebells and Cocktails. I'm your host, John, back with my bestie, Nikki. Nikki, how are you?
I'm doing great tonight. How are you doing?
I'm good. You were shoving things in your mouth hole as we were starting. It made me think of our sponsor, Airwave.
What a segue. Did that so that we could bring up Airwave, truly.
I love when we log on and you're just furiously shoving food in your mouth because it's the only time you get to eat. I love it.
The only time. I was looking at I literally have like Zoom calls after this, like, what is time to eat? I don't understand.
I know.
Luckily you can put Airwave in your mouth hole while you multitask and work out. So you don't have to have separate time for that. Hey.
Yeah.
Sure. So sorry, all joking aside, Airwave, is a sponsor of the show and we are really excited to continue working with them. John and I have been using the Airwave mouthpiece for a while now. If you haven't thought of adding it to your training, I would definitely consider it because I don't know. I just feel like we do everything we can to get an edge in a workout and feel better while we're trying to, you know, not get winded or like get a new time or a great PR. Or for John, it's very much so about recovery, and the Airwave mouthpiece really helps with all those things. You don't think it will, but it will. It molds to your teeth. It doesn't feel like the mouth guard you wore in middle school. So like that's the image that people have. But it's this mouthpiece that molds very nicely to your teeth. You can like pretty much talk with it in, breathe with it in, whatever. And it just kind of sets your jaw forward and in the right position to get a proper flow of air in so you can breathe a little bit better in your Metcons. You can bite down when you're lifting. It helps release cortisol in your body, which helps with recovery. Man, I should really work for this brand. Like I'm like all in. Listen to me go. I got no notes in front of me. I'm just going.
I know. I'm just sitting there going, I don't know. It just makes me feel better, dude. And makes me recover. I'm positive. I'm going to, instead of finishing 57,230th in the open, I'm going to finish 57,229 because of Airwave. Oh, positive.
I'll take that improvement. That's huge.
We'll get that spot.
Anyway, don't listen to me babble on about this any longer. Go try one yourself. It is Airwave, AIRWAAV.com. There's an extra A in the end there. And if you use our code KC10, you can get 10% off. Give it a shot. Yeah.
It's good stuff. I'm very excited. Nikki, we're talking about affiliate stuff tonight.
Yeah, your favorite. That's your topic.
I love talking about affiliates. And we have the man in the know who's going to solve all the problems of the world, Dale King. Dale, how are you?
I am wonderful. I just want to comment on Nikki's backdrop.
Isn't it nice?
Do you love that? I'm on like a TV podcast. I'm not really like it's perfect. Like I'm over here like a dark and gloomy.
You look like you're in a strip club. That's what you look like.
Yeah, you actually do. Yeah. What is this mood lighting you have going on behind you?
You guys, when you come down to Portsmouth, Ohio, we could talk decor and then ambiance. We're just leaving the Christmas lights up. I said, fuck it. We're going to let them roll.
I can only imagine what a strip club in Portsmouth, Ohio is like. I can only imagine. I'm sure it's the classiest of all Ohio strip clubs.
We are the jewel of the tri-state area. I'll have you know, John.
So. I'm sure you are. Why are those lights up? Are those just normal decorations? You know, like Christmas lights up.
They've probably been here for at least 4 years up. And so at this point, we're not going to break tradition. And so here we are. And it's also way dim lighting. So we got that going for us.
I was
going
to say, if those are Christmas lights, I was going to be like, you know what? Baby Jesus is walking. He's like pulling up on furniture at this point. You know, he's getting ready to go to preschool. It's time to take down the
Why you got to bring it up like that, huh, John? This is a sensitive week for me.
I know, it's right. Well, yeah, your baby and baby Jesus would be about the same age if you were born on Christmas. They go to school together.
Good. We start daycare next week, and I am losing my goddamn mind.
So my twins will be 5 in April. And they've been it was pretty traumatic. I'm not going to lie. So I pop them out of the truck and then I walk them off and they just, you know, 4 little feet crawling off and they look back and wave. I took a second. I was like, and they were probably 3 or 2 at the time. I can't remember. And I was like, oh man, this is like getting real. Next day I was like, hey, we're late. We got to go. You got to get to daycare. We got to hurry up.
Right. Right, right. No, I know. I know it'll get better. And I think I've said this on the podcast before, but I like everything about the idea of socializing my kid and letting him learn from others and not having stranger danger. And like, I'm not really paying attention to him at home because I'm trying to work. So like, it all makes sense. I just need to be breathing into a brown paper bag.
If you want to feel better about it, Nikki, my youngest picked a college and is about to leave home for good.
Wait, she picked one? Are you allowed to say it on the air?
I am. We're gonna be a Bearcat, Cincinnati Bearcats. I know. Very excited. I'm excited because it's a good sports school, which is all I care about. And so that'll be fun. You know, they play good games. So it'll be fun to go down and visit. It's a fun little city. She'll have a really good college experience, be in downtown Cincinnati, which is, you know, kind of a fun area and dorms are nice and you know, she'll do well.
How far from home is that for you?
Well, it's about 3.5 hours from here. She has an uncle that lives in Cincinnati. So we've got family there that will be close. So that's a good thing. And funny enough, do you remember Maggie Perrin? She was at the MAC. She won. Yeah, she was a teen athlete. She's won a bunch of stuff as a teen athlete. She's kind of, you know, she's aged up now. And she trains with Sam Briggs and she lives in Cincinnati. Well, I've become friends with her and her mom. And I ran into her mom at Wadapalooza. And, you know, they're Southerners. Like, you know, Cincinnati is the South, basically. And her mom is, it's the South. Yeah. Oh. And so her mom reminds me of my mom. And I told her, oh, Megan's thinking about going to Cincinnati. And she goes, oh, bless her heart. You just bring her down here. I'll be her Cincinnati mama.
Oh my God. She probably really meant it.
She did. She's like, she can go to church with us. And I'm like, done. Absolutely done. I'm taking her to Cincinnati. So
I love that. Yeah. That's the perfect distance from home, I feel like, for college. Like, it's like she could jet home. She really needed something. She was really homesick, whatever. But it's not so close that, like, you're just popping in on her on the weekend, whatever, you know.
Yeah. That's she good. Said to me offhand, she's like, well, my mom and her husband said they'd be coming down for all the football games. And I'm like, and she seemed like kind of worried that people were me intruding on her college experience. I'm like, baby, nobody's going to be around you during football. You're going to be in the student section and then with your friends afterwards. Like, you're not going to care about inmate coming to those games. So she'll be fine.
Cool. Very cool. Congrats.
Well, I'm more jealous of you two. You guys got the young kids and that's the fun age. So
doesn't seem like fun right now. It only seems like stress.
Well, try having two. Dale's got twins.
Jeez, Dale.
They're at a very cool age right now. Like, they can run around. They always want to work out in the garage and ride bikes and all that fun stuff. So I feel like I'm finally contributing as a parent now. once they can kind of walk and run and talk a little bit, I feel like I got way more to offer now. So.
Here's what twins will do to you, Nikki. What twins will do to you? Dale's only 20 years old. Can you believe that?
Very funny.
True.
But I actually would believe that too.
My baby sister has twins. That's tough, year. Man. That's a tough, yeah. That's a tough ride for that's sure.
Tough. Well, yeah. Combine being a father of twins and being an affiliate owner. Then this is the age makes a lot of sense.
Well, that's like being a father of 100. How many members do you have at the gym?
We're probably around 140, 140 down nice. Here.
Yeah. So you're a father of 142. So there you go. Right.
Exactly. Yep.
Right.
And then, you know, we've got, we work with a company called the Counseling Center, and we do 5 classes a day for them. So if you lump in all their clients, like we're pushing north of 200 little ones running around all the time. So
that's a busy gym. That's a really busy gym. What do you guys have planned for the open? What are your big plans?
So what we're doing, we've done the Friday Night Lights like everyone else before. And it's kind of interesting. If you look at like how long gyms have been around, I think like you can kind of ride this little roller coaster. So 8 years ago, everybody, 90% of everybody was coming to Friday Night Lights at 5 p.m., throwing down and being a big bonanza. Now everyone's like, dude, I'm doing the 5:30 a.m. class because I've got kids and I've got to get a job. So we wanted to try to figure out a way to kind of still keep the vibe going, but appreciate and respect everyone's time that, you know, they can't be there all the time. So we instituted class warfare. So instead of like having draft teams, it's every class is their own team now. And their scores kind of go against one another. So yeah, like 5:30 a.m. versus 9 a.m. versus the noon. And then we lumped all the evening class. So, and with it being only 3 weeks, we will have like a big blowout at the end of the third week when it's all said and done, and kind of hang out, eat some tacos, drink some beers afterwards.
Dude, that's super fun. Cause at least in my experience in gyms when I was in affiliates is that, like certain class times think they're fitter than other class times.
Totally.
You know, like the 5:30 a.m. think they're hardcore as hell because they're getting up early with no idea that they're really not that fit. They're just getting up early. And it's the PM crew that are all the fit young people that just come in and hang out for hours before they actually work out that think they're the fittest people on the planet. Like that would be fun. I would love to see who wins that battle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool for us. So like you're saying, the 5:30 a.m, they're like the hardcore discipline, but they always give themselves a handicap. So we'll go like maybe 2 minutes off a score and 20 pounds onto a lift. We call it like the 5:30 a.m. handicap. Yeah. And then
that's fair.
9:00 a.m. for us. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think it reasons out. Like no one's arguing about it. We call our 9 a.m. the legends class. So these guys are all like 80% of the class is 55, minimum age 55. They no shirt, no shit, have color coordinated shirts based upon the day of the week.
Amazing. Like, those are my like, kind of people right there.
Like bowling uniforms almost.
Nice.
Yes. And,
so they're the legends and they make up their own rules as they go, along. But it's cool. So they'll all do like handyman projects with each other afterwards. And so instead of like being the golf course, like the gym is their golf course now and they all have their own little crew. And we got the nooners. They are the most, so they're all pretty much, like self-employed business owners around town. So they're using the noon class as their lunch break. And that's just their 1 hour just to not have anybody bug them and bother them and stuff.
That's preaching to the choir for that. Yeah. When I can make it to the noon class and I like snooze my like turn Slack off my phone and I like shut off all my notifications on my watch and stuff, I'm like, oh my God, please nobody bother me for an hour.
But it's so cool to see all the different like business partnerships that will come out of it because you got like guys that own wealth management companies and insurance agencies and all this stuff. They all link together. And then the evening classes are just the younger crowd, the ones just getting off work and the whole deal. So it will be interesting to see who ends up with bragging rights.
You're making me homesick's the wrong word, but you know, since my affiliate closed, I've been training at home for like 4 or 5 months now. And you don't really forget, but you forget like what this is like. Like I can train alone for a long time and stay fit and feel good about it and still feel connected. But like you miss like all these little interpersonal relationships that come out of gyms. And I guess the question that is like, I feel like lately I've seen nothing but drama, you know, shocking coming out of CrossFit and everybody has an opinion and that's good. Everybody's allowed to have an opinion, but it's just felt really toxic. And I think people have forgotten about how awesome the gyms are. They're so awesome. Like, you know, so the question there for you, Dale, is like, you know, you're seeing it day to day. Like, do you feel any of that toxicity pulling over in the classes, or is it as irrelevant as I think it is?
So I wear a couple hats. I'm speaking solely as an affiliate owner, and there is zero transfer from what headquarters is doing, not doing, into my affiliate whatsoever. I would only, you know, a handful, 10% even know who Greg, Dave, or Eric is or was. But then I put on my field leader hat. And then, so my job there is to kind of like help other affiliate owners out, be a point of contact. And affiliate owners themselves kind of feel it more than I would say the average member. And so like the message lately from my conversations with them, and it's been fucking rough, man. Like if you go back to actually this time, was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever the 20s,
yeah.
So it's actually this upcoming at the Arnold was the last time anybody was able to get together pre-pandemic.
Yep.
It's been as a owner, dude, it's been a rough ride navigating all that. Then the, you know, Greg selling it, Eric buying it, then the transitions, you know, Dave being let go and the whole thing. But I feel now like, you know, the main message is like owners need to understand CrossFit is about what they do and what happens inside their walls more than anything else. That is what CrossFit is. It's not fucking meme pages. Sorry, John. It's not.
Oh, you're killing me.
It's not people drama. Who, what team, what side. I mean, that, you know, it comes into play a little bit, but end of the day, it's like what you do when you go roll up those doors at 5 a.m. in the morning and you're high-fiving and you're making people better and you're pouring your heart and your soul into what you do as a profession, being a coach and being an owner, that is CrossFit at its core and at its foundation.
How do we replicate more of that in the ethos then, I guess is the question. Like, I hate the thought of, you know, owners out there feeling like they're, I don't know, just the pressure of, you know, either non-support or needing more or not getting it. Like just for those of us that are just kind of the normal people in the community, what can we do to help?
Well, I think there's a couple ways. I think, you know, all problems in organizations fall back to leadership. I mean, I think that's the attitude that you have to have, whether you're being an owner or you're attaching yourself to a larger brand. And I feel now over the last 18, 24 months, it's been like this up and down. It's been rocky. And I feel it's finally starting to stabilize a little bit. I mean, I think there's a lot of things to watch for with the upcoming management, whatever headquarters is going to do. But what I can tell you is I see what the gym org does on a weekly, daily basis, as far as other field leaders and guys like Gary, Austin, and Danielle. And like, I'm not going to come on here and blow smoke up people's ass, but I can tell you those people bleed for the affiliates. And as long as they are there, we don't have anything to worry about. Like I'm telling you, like their work ethic and their care for the affiliate owners is unmatched, unparalleled. And I think after this Rosa thing situates out, like you're going to see what I hope to be a return to the original ethos. Like, CrossFit is about the coach. CrossFit is about the owner, and nothing else fucking matters other than what's happening. And gym owners need to understand, and they, I just don't think they've been told this. And I think too, it's like, you know, I've been in the game a long time, since 2010, and you're coming up around like generational owners, like guys, I forget the stats, but I think a good majority is like 7 years and plus owners. But some people haven't been around for the whole ride. And so it's hard to not understand that. Like, for example, we, for the noon class, we brought back Pukey the Clown shirts. And I had to explain, like, who Pukey the Clown was. You know what I mean? And, right? But you, the four of us on here, like, everyone knows who Pukey the Clown is. There's no way anyone in CrossFit doesn't know who Pukey the Clown is. But if you've probably started CrossFitting in the last 2-3 years, you're not going to know. And that's the thing, and I know I'm going off on different tangents, but when guys and girls have been contacting me feeling like, you know, they haven't, as owners, they haven't been listened to and respected and the whole thing. So my immediate turnaround is like, listen, you've been there for a long time. Now, if you feel CrossFit is too corporate or it's too watered down, then it's your job to teach at your affiliate what old school methodology is. And that's your job as an owner, because we can't, like, if you get into a blame game, you're never going to win. Like, as the owner, you're the one responsible for your community. You're the one in charge, you know, and you are that lifeboat in a sea of chronic disease, depression, and addiction. Be the fucking captain of that and steer your ship the way you want it to be led.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree, first of all. And I think that I agree partially because I've been on the journey, right? Like, I've now been coaching for 11 years. Like, this is part of life. It's not new. I'm not getting my footing. Like, this is part of my overall lifestyle. But I know that part of instilling positions like yours and part of the journey that the home office is going on in terms of being more of a resource to affiliates is to try and quell those kind of issues that owners have when they feel like they haven't been listened to or they feel like these decisions are being made without them. And John and I have talked about this at length. Like, CrossFit is such a unique organization in that people on the ground level, coaches on the ground level, owners on the ground level feel incredibly connected to this much larger international organization differently than they would in some other corporate setting. So I'm curious to know from you, Dale, you got to bridge that gap, right? You got to be on the one hand, be like, hey, fucking buck up and run your affiliate the way you want to. And on the other hand, you have to be the lifeline between the affiliates and the home office for when they really do need stuff or to advocate for more support down the road. So what kind of difference have you seen in that communication since you've started this position? And I'll preface this question by kind of admitting that change is slow. So I'm not expecting you to be like, oh, everything's different now. Like, but you know, how has that been going? Cause you have a big job to do in that respect.
Sure. And thank you for asking that. You know, I would say when I started my gym, I didn't expect any sort of help at all, but I knew that going into that. And I know I don't think that's necessarily the right expectations, because I feel like there needs to be a feeling of partnership between the affiliate on the ground and HQ. Right. So I think you know, Dave was actually the one who put the idea of the field reps together. I think that was a great program. And what we're trying to do is push communication down from top down, but then also encourage, like, hey, you guys can talk to each other. There's resources and tools available for that. And we are here to, our job literally is to be here for text, call, email, for anything that you have. And I think some cool things that have happened that honestly, I just think owners don't know about, because when ownership changed, they were just trying to shotgun blast as many things out as possible. because they were trying to, you know, trying to get things done. And when you do that, some things get drowned out in the noise. Mm-hmm. So when, yeah. when you talk about, talk about support, like there's a great program that this was actually Eric's idea. It's called Roundtables. Like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that at all. It's a free program. Like, any affiliate owner right now can go on to, I think it's affiliate.crossfit.com. They log into their own portal and they can be put into a group of 8 to 9 other affiliate owners that meet 1 to 2 times a month. And it's owners talking with other owners about best practices, shared struggles, and any sort of really emotional outreach and relief that they need. And that I was involved in the pilot program for that. I think it was a year ago, somewhere around there. And I can tell you, like, it was, I was kind of wishy-washy about it. Like, I'm not a talk about my feelings kind of dude that much, but it was extremely effective and beneficial just to be put with in an open forum with other affiliate owners. So I think that's like a great example of how communication has helped.
Yeah.
Along with the field leaders program.
That's awesome. I did not know about that. I think that is very
cool. And that's like, you know, that's a ding on us. That's a ding on a headquarters kind of thing. Because when you're trying to do all these different programs, if everything's a priority, nothing becomes a priority.
Totally. That's tough. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, a good friend, Gary's in charge of that. Gary Hare's in charge of that program. He's been around forever. An OG, David Osarios, is helping with it. It's a free program, and it's just there for people to reach out and connect with one another as affiliate owners.
Love to see more and more of that happen. I think people lose sight of how fast CrossFit grew and how much this sort of thing would have happened naturally in a growth spurt that would have been a slower trajectory, you know, at least in my view, as someone who runs a business, like part of CrossFit's problem was they had two massive growth at the same time. You had the affiliates that were growing hand over fist and the games that were taking off like a rocket. And you had two different sets of problems. You had the affiliates where the heart of the business is where all the money is. The affiliates basically print money for HQ, in my opinion, or have mm-hmm. the potential to, but we're given, you know, kind of the guidance of, you know, hey, here's the programming, here's our mantra, go do it. And by the way, you can open on any street corner right across from each other. We don't give a shit, put each other out of business. We don't care. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, cause Greg didn't understand how to run a franchise. He did a lot of things great. That isn't a critique on Greg. It's just, that wasn't sure. his forte. He was a trainer, you know, and then the games happened, which is also spectacular and a lot of growth, but you know, people tend to forget the games was a loss leader. They made no money. As a matter of fact, they sucked money away from CrossFit and damn near bankrupted. I mean, in all seriousness, like losing money hand over fist, like people forget that. If no one remembers for whatever reason that the stupid regional events, what those things cost, Nikki, like a couple million bucks a pop. Like it was a ridiculous amount of money.
I have no idea, but I know that everyone will tell you that events don't make money. Even affiliate owners who host competitions will tell you that events don't make money.
Yeah. So I guess that's the point is like, you know, CrossFit somehow became about the games when it has never been about the games. Like the game should be drawing people in. And so I guess my point to all that is that what should have been happening was HQ should have been getting smaller while the affiliates got bigger. And the games maybe should have just gone and done its own thing and all this wouldn't have been a big problem. And instead it's all intertwined now. And people are like, I even had a message today from somebody that goes, what do you think about Monster taking over all this CrossFit stuff? I'm like, Monster's not taking over shit. Like, they are literally not taking over shit. They're not owned by Coke. Don't tell me they are. They're sponsoring athletes. That's all they're doing. They're not taking over CrossFit. They're not in the affiliates. And if they are, that's an affiliate owner's choice. Like, right. Why are we having this debate? You know,
John out here doing the Lord's work, setting people right on Instagram. No, truly. Like, how many people reach out to you with stupid false information 24/7.
Well, but that's the point, is that this thing grew so fast and got so out of control that that kind of like false narrative gets out into the ethos you know, people believe it to be true, even though it isn't true. And what I'm hoping is going to happen is like what you're describing here, Dale, is that affiliate owners are going to be able to get together and start setting some of that straight.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's what I'm seeing. And I think their voice is loud and it's being heard.
Good.
I can tell you that. I can definitely tell you that. And I think, you know, I was in a meeting today and it was very refreshing. Like Nicole Carroll was leading the meeting at all hands. And she was just basically like, we are refocusing on what core CrossFit is.
Cool.
And it's the coach, it's the professionalization of the coach. And it goes hand in hand with what happens in the affiliate. And then the games are a part of that solely to highlight what happens in affiliate.
Yes.
And I think that's where it's, you know, it's a pendulum effect, man. Like you had everybody up in arms when Greg, whatever happened with Greg, the pendulum then swung this way and Dave was let go. Then it equally pissed, let's just say equally pissed the same amount of people off. And now you're going to find that thing hopefully settling in the middle and focusing on what's happening. I mean, there's so much cool shit that happens in an affiliate, and there's so much good work that affiliate owners do. And I bet you're going to start to see getting back to storytelling about affiliate owners, what's going on in there, about coaches, and just being able to like highlight the amazing weapon that an affiliate owner has to like point it at chronic disease, depression, and addiction.
You're down there fighting addiction hand over fist. Like you're on the front lines, right?
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, like today, I don't want to steer this in the wrong direction, but we had a guy die of overdose this morning. Mm. And he was a counselor at the facility that we're partnered with, the counseling center. And he was a rock, man. He'd been 6 years sober and was like a well-respected counselor for folks that are in treatment. And a lot of guys that work for me, I mean, it sucked. And you got to look at that too. It's like, if you're somebody struggling with recovery and addiction and somebody that you look up to that helped you, you know, relapse and ultimately fell victim to overdose, like it can play with your psyche. And, you know, I'd say I'm getting ready to go on a huge, get up on a big soapbox. So
get on it.
To everybody, he's just a piece of shit junkie that probably deserved to die. Right. And that's the typical stigma that you're going to find. And that used to be my belief and opinion 4 years ago or so. And if it hadn't been for CrossFit giving me the opportunity to start giving classes to folks in addiction, I never would have changed my opinion. And, you know, where we're at today, we're a community partner with the counseling center. And we set up their own gym. Actually, we have two gyms now in addition to mine. We do 5 classes a day. Average class attendance is anywhere from 10 to 15. And I currently, through 2 other businesses that I'm fortunate enough to own, I hire 12 people in recovery for that. And the even cooler part is at my gym, 3 former clients now have their level 1 in our coach for me coaching clients again.
That to me is one of the most important aspects of what you could be doing, because like you said, there's this terrible perception out there and these people are facing stigma every single day. So to have someone leading the way that they can see themselves in, you know what I mean? To set an example so that they can understand it's not just words, you are more, or you are better, or you are enough, or you have the capability of being whatever you want. No, they're seeing it. You know what I mean? And that, unfortunately, you know, you can't fake that. Like I could not pretend to be in someone's shoes like that. So I really don't know shit about that journey, but someone who does makes a real impact, truly, right, as a coach. That's important.
But you know CrossFit, and you, true, know how to CrossFit. And,
oh, yeah, you,
and that's the thing. It's like, for all my professional journey, I've been a Army veteran. I've worked with adaptive athletes, and I work with folks in addiction, and I can tell you there is no difference.
Yeah, of course.
Between those three. The commonality is they all suffer from some sort of trauma. And they all are fearing isolation.
Mm-hmm.
So when you suffer from trauma, you self-isolate, you lack community. And what happens is you choose your own adventure as far as what coping mechanism that's going to be. It's going to be alcohol. It's going to be drugs. It's going to be gambling. It's going to be something else. And where we're at right now with opioids, you take shit on the street, you're going to fucking die.
Yep, 100%.
They're like, it's really like you're taking a loaded gun and putting it in your mouth when you take fentanyl on the street. And, yeah, and that, and we, like, that's a long way of saying, dude, we're down here in it. And, you know, our goal now is, you know, Portsmouth, Ohio has been called the pill mill capital of America. And what we're trying to do now is take something we're calling the Portsmouth method and then teach other people how to do it in their own communities.
Very cool. This reminds me a lot of the battle cancer stuff that we talked to Scott, mm-hmm, about. We should connect you with them because they're doing, yeah, the same thing where they have like cancer survivors coaching cancer survivors. And now they've taken that program and they've replicated it so that they can just send like a prepackaged little program to other gyms so they can do it too. We'll connect you guys. We're all, yeah, connected in here in this CrossFit world.
I'm just always interested when I hear these stories because, you know, we talk on the show often about inclusion and representation. And I think people almost immediately go, okay, we're talking about race again. And it's like, no, we're not. Like, representation takes a lot of different faces, and it takes one junkie seeing another one going, God, that guy fixed himself. And if he can do it, I can do it. And, yep, and finding a supportive community that will love you. Like my parents do a lot of work. You know, my dad's a CrossFitter. He doesn't do this through CrossFit, but now that they're retired, they work in a halfway home. And these people, when they get out of prison from nonviolent offenses, but they were all drug users and alcoholics, they put them in this halfway home, and dad teaches them finance and, you know,
yes,
and helps them like get their life back together. And he gives them tough love. Like, he treats them like you treated me as a kid, you know?
But they
have a community, you know, and that's the point. And that's what I think, you know, it sounds like you're bringing here, Dale, is, you know, not only are you, you know, getting them away from the opioids and the alcohol and whatever, but when you get people together and you have that common, I consider it common suffering of what we do.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like being a soldier, you know, you're going to war together and you build those bonds. Like, you start to feel guilty when you pull away from it, you know, and you're, you know, quite literally saving lives. And I think that's the power of what we're doing, and the power of inclusion and diversity and representation is you know, you bring people in that wouldn't come in otherwise. So good for, right, you, man. Like, well, really brilliant.
It's not me. There's a lot of good people involved, and the common thread is CrossFit.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a partner at the counseling center for shits and giggles. He just got his online level one. He's a senior clinical director. Just so he makes fun of me all the time because I'm always digging into substance abuse manuals and psychology manuals. And he's like, well, he's doing the same thing now in the CrossFit. To really understand those bridge. And like, our mission is to, you know, what you were saying, John, is like, we want to safely introduce physiological stress in the form of CrossFit in order, you know, to make psychological gains and accelerate healing of the brain on an individual level. Now you combine that with a group of people led by a supportive, caring coach, and you just form micro communities across the way. And what that does is it kills isolation. Community kills isolation. And then furthermore, that community leads to accountability. Because my coaches and the employees, God bless them, they would do everything in their power. But at a certain point, they need to be self-accountable to themselves and their own little group that they have. And that's the real magic sauce, man.
Yeah, it's such a wonderful thing and such a tough thing, because you are inevitably going to experience what you described at the top of this, you know. And I think that's, you know, God bless you guys for being able to do it, and anyone that's willing to do it. And this is what I would like to see coming from headquarters or home office or whatever the hell we're calling them now. Yeah. You know, I don't know if they, you know, necessarily have to give full support to it, but I think they have to give you resources and, and help people through it. And for me, that I think that's part of what CrossFit has been missing over the years. And what I think people often don't see is, like, if you have 9,000 or 13,000 affiliates or whatever the number is, and you just let them do whatever the hell they want, that's great in part if you're giving them great programming, they're all using, you know, kind of the method. It becomes really bad though when they start missing some of the bigger ticket items. You know, like, not everyone's as smart as you, as an example, you know. So they're going to go and go, hey, this would be a good idea, and put themselves in harm's way with people that are addicted, you know.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because, you know, Danielle Hale, who works in the gym organization, this is something she's standing up. So she's standing up a program called the Affiliate Community Empowerment Program. And there's a guy actually in Salina, Ohio, Matt, he started a program called Expanding Horizons that works with kids in juvenile probation. So they are basically, they're using that program that's funded by the state of Ohio. So how it kind of works is, each county, there's 88 counties in Ohio, and, you know, each of them have kids in juvenile probation. What Matt did is opened up his gym to probation, in probation, and then probation officers. They all got together, and he started that 3 years ago. And that program is, they're in kind of like in the pilot stage of being able to roll that out on a much, much larger scale. So I'm glad you mentioned that. And that is something that they're going to do, because at the end of the day, it's like, an affiliate owner has an incredible, powerful tool that just needs to be pointed in the right direction to make true impact in their neighborhoods.
I think the thing for HQ that I hope, you know, maybe you can just tell them the meme lord had an idea for them. Here's my idea. So, since I'm not really in cahoots, I know everyone thinks I am, but no one listens to me. So here's my tip. Like, they don't have to create anything. They only have to connect you guys. So you're the expert in this, right? Like, there are plenty of gyms out there that are experts in dealing with adaptive athletes, for example. That's not going to be everyone's bag of tricks. Not everyone wants to do that necessarily. You're not called to do that, right? But there are a lot that are. Connect those people. So you can now have connections in all the cities that you happen to be in. And if there's someone in, you know, Santa Cruz, California, that wants to start a drug rehab program, they know to contact Dale. You know, like, that's all they need to be able to do is connect experts to experts. They don't need to create the expert advice, because there are plenty of people in the community that are going to be experts in these things. You know?
Right.
So, yeah. So tell them the meme lord has it figured out, Dale. Figured out.
I've already just texted.
Perfect. Well, don't text Eric, because apparently he fired himself. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there.
Me neither.
That's a podcast for another night.
Who's going to be the new CEO? Is it going to be you?
No, it's CEO. Definitely not going to. I can barely be the CEO of my own life, let alone CrossFit.
But I'd vote for you. Come on. Who's it going to be? Dude, we have no idea.
I don't even know. I don't even know who's out there. Like, whoever it is, you know, I just hope it would be cool that they had legitimate affiliate owner experience. I know that's a tall order, because
I don't think it is. I don't think it's a tall order. I don't know if they have to be an affiliate owner, but I think you could find someone that's got a lot of affiliate experience that's qualified to do it. I mean, you've seen at the gyms, how many crazy smart business people have you seen come and go through CrossFit over the last decade? Like, I've met so many CEOs and and lawyers and doctors, and you know, like there's got to be a CEO out there that's fanatical about CrossFit that could do this. Got to be.
True. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is, and in time, hopefully, the right one will emerge.
The trick that people have to recognize is CEO doesn't do shit in any corporation you're in. I've never seen one that does. All they do is give direction. The smart ones pick the right people to run the right parts of the organization. Like a really good CEO, whoever it is, needs to come in and go, Nicole Carroll, you're going to run a big fucking part of the company because you're brilliant and you've been around forever and people adore you and you're right for the job, you know? And if someone can come in and do that and do the same for Austin and some of the others and like put them in, make sure people are in key spots, CrossFit's going to be just fine.
Yeah. And I think, and I guess that goes back to my very first point is like, if you kind of look at the three pillars, Justin Berg's been around forever. He's great. And actually they announced today, I think, I don't know if I'm supposed to say it, but Boz is going to take over programming for the games.
Awesome.
So, great. That's awesome.
Perfect. I mean, no one's going to argue with that decision at all whatsoever. Yeah. And then we got, you know, Gary's a relatively newcomer. He came along in the last, 18 months.
But Gary's awesome.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
You ask any field leader, you ask anybody in the gym org, they will vouch for him. His heart is in the right place. He's a smart guy. And, you know, with Austin and Danielle and all the country reps, the guys and girls pulling the trigger and doing the work are in the right spots. We just need that final general in there to kind of motivate and tell people to attack the hill.
I'll do it. Old bald white guy. I'm perfect for the role. Bald white guy.
Perfect. Perfect.
Absolutely perfect. I'm going to message Boz though and go, please bring back the softball throw. That was the greatest event ever. Was that 2012 or what year was that? Do you remember, Nikki? You had to be on the sidelines for that.
No, I don't. I have no idea.
You don't remember?
No.
It was the best. I was so new in CrossFit and everybody's like, oh, you got to see the CrossFit games. This is like a big deal, right? And I don't even remember, like, I'm like, what are the events? And somebody like, they're throwing a softball for distance. And I'm like, what? Like, this is the fittest on earth is throwing a softball for distance?
Hey, we've come a long way, okay?
I know.
All right.
It really has come a long way. It's amazing how far it's come. It really is. It's fun stuff. Well, Dale, you're doing the Lord's work down there, man. I'm ready to come down and visit you. Although I'm going to see you in Columbus. Next weekend or weekend after next, right?
Yeah. I think it's next weekend.
Nice, you guys.
Yeah, we'll be there for the Arnold. Very exciting.
Fun.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, Jen from Chagrin Falls is coming down here. We're hosting a seminar that Thursday to teach folks, you know, how to link up with the Behavioral Health Center in their neighborhood and a little bit of what we do here. And then heading up to the Arnold for that weekend. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, we need to get Jen on the show. Meaning to tell you about this, Nikki. She was in Morning Chalk Up a few weeks ago, and she's a friend. I'm going to be doing at least a couple of the opens at her gym, but she's hosting or has a regular class with young people that have developmental needs, you know, like Down syndrome and things like that, and really leading from the front, like doing a great job, you know, helping young athletes take up the sport.
She arranged a bunch of healthcare professional interviews for me last year when I did the open announcements live from my basement.
Oh yeah.
We interviewed some nurses who had been like working through the pandemic and CrossFitting. She helped set that up.
Yeah. We'll get her on. She's great. She's great.
She's got a great heart, man. She's ripped too, dude. Like she is ripped.
Nice. Yeah. Well, they texted me, my doctor, my new doctor was part of her team that did that competition at her event. And he messaged me. He's like, hey, are you coming down for this? I'm like, you guys didn't tell me. Like they were already halfway down. It's not like Portsmouth is around the corner from Cleveland. Sure. And I'm like, when is it? And he's like, it's tomorrow. I'm like, I can't just show up tomorrow. Like, no, give me some lead time. Otherwise I would have been there. So.
Yeah. Tom's a good dude. I appointed him my chief medical advisor, whether he agreed to it or not.
I'm excited. He got me in the CrossFit Health Pilot, the Wild Health, I guess is what it's called right now, but it'll be Precision Care, you know, pretty soon. And he's going to be my doc. So he'll be the one to tell me I should start doing mobility and I'll completely ignore him like everyone else I've ever had. It'll be great.
Very cool.
Money well spent. Thanks, Tom. You'll love it. All right. Well, this has been fun, dude. I appreciate you joining and sharing what's going on. It's always a blast.
I fucking love the both of you. Thank you so much. You guys, it's been a true honor. I love being on here.
Anytime. Nikki, you got to go get that baby down. We made it just in time.
I know. I'm like, I'm sorry if you guys hear him wailing in the background. I'm trying to pad the room with audio insulation. It's not working.
Go shake him. He'll be fine.
Perfect. All right.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you for everyone listening. We will, for everyone listening, good luck in the open this week. And we'll check you guys next week. Take care.